being real and being beyond what our words can say right now. So real. So much more real, Lord, than the things that present themselves to us as reality. We love you, Jesus. We love you and we want to know you. Just like that song was crying out, we want to know you. And in knowing you, Lord, we will be able to pass every lamb lab because the lamb is in us. So, Father, we just come now to be with your son, to seek him, to love him, to know him. And we just want to bless you with our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can see and hear okay. I know I can talk soft sometimes.
Yes.
Yay, okay. Well, why don't y'all open up, if you have your Bibles with you, and I'm sure you do. Let's go to the Gospel of Mark. And we're going to just kind of look at one of Jesus's lamb labs. Because he's the lamb, he passes the lamb labs beautifully. In fact, he's the only way to get through the lamb lab and bring glory to the Father. So let's look at his. And we're going to go to chapter 1 of Mark. We're going to begin in verse 9. Let me put my glasses on. So, Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, tested by Satan, and was with the wild beasts. And the angels ministered unto him. And okay, we're just going to stop at that verse and look at a few things. So we see that there's this guy, Jesus of Nazareth. He's just a dude. I mean, at this point, it's not saying Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, this guy from Nazareth. And he goes with the rest of the folks to get baptized by John in the Jordan. And he steps in there just like thousands of guys from Nazareth and Galilee and all the different towns and places around there and from regions far beyond that had heard of John and the gospel, his message of repentance and the kingdom. And he gets in the water with everybody else. And who knows, he probably looked just a lot like every other guy there, every other Jewish guy there. And he gets in the water. And something different happens to this Jesus of Nazareth. Straight away, coming up out of the water, the heavens open. The Spirit descends like a dove. And the Father says, this is my Son, in whom I'm well, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. This is different. This guy's walking into the Jordan. He's walking into this Jordan River that is a type of being baptized into death. But he has a different, completely different experience than everybody else. I mean, the Spirit of God lands on him. The heavens open. God the Father says, this is my beloved Son. I mean, we talk about Elohim. He showed up right there at the Jordan. These three in one people. Wow, this is now. Now you're talking. Now you're talking. Now you got the right one. And he passes through that Jordan. He goes into that baptism. And he comes up to the glory of the Father, to the joy of the Spirit. Something different happens with this Son. This happens to Jesus of Nazareth, whoever this guy must be. He happens to be the one that the Spirit just loves. He happens to be the one the Father just, the heavens split open. God the Father shows, this is my beloved Son. It's radical. It's radical. And this same guy, he goes immediately, the Spirit drives him. The Spirit drives him into the wilderness. This is Lamb Lab territory. I mean, you're going into that wilderness, you're talking, man, this is the place where the Lamb Labs are brewed up. This is where the experiment happens. And Jesus goes in there driven by the Spirit, tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. Satan testing him every step of the way, wild beasts around him. And this guy passes the labs. He comes forth like gold tested in the fire, tried in these temptations that everyone else fails in. He overcomes and he comes up out of this. And he, if you continue on in the Gospel of Mark, he heals the sick, raises the dead, casts out demons. I mean, not that that's why he came. He came to give his life. He came to be the Lamb and give himself unto death. But we see that this one, he's different than us. And, you know, I think sometimes we can get so caught up in passing the test, doing the lamb-like thing, having the right response, going into that Jordan, coming up and going into that wilderness and going into those trials and having those temptations and encountering those wild beasts, whether they're in us or around us or both. And we're wanting to pass that Lamb Lab. We're wanting to pass the trial. We're wanting to bring glory to God through this thing we're going through. But here's the deal. Nobody can do it but Jesus. I know that. We all know that. We, you know, somewhere in our heart, in our mind, in our... This is the only one who can pass the test. He's the only one. He's the only one. The Lamb of God, which, you know, John's declaring him. Behold, the Lamb of God. He's crying out. This guy, he's a lamb. We see that in other Gospels, where in Gospel of John, where John the Baptist is saying, this dude, he's a lamb. He's a lamb. Look at him as he's walking. He's telling the disciples, check this Jesus of Nazareth out. As he walks, the Lamb of God. He takes away the sins of the world, but watch him while he walks. He's the Lamb. He's the Lamb. Follow him. Don't follow me. He's the one. Follow him. He's the one in Revelation, in the Gospel, in the book of Revelation. We find them who are following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth in chapter, 14, verse 11 or something like that. They're following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. They're continuing into his nature through every trial, every temptation, everything that you hear of in the book of Revelation. They're not getting more lamb-like. They're not getting more lamb-like. They are decreasing while the Lamb is increasing. The Lamb, not the teaching about the Lamb, not the attributes of the Lamb. It can be imitated, not really. Not all the things gathered around the Lamb. Behold the Lamb. Him. Follow him. Follow him. Him. It's not you. It's not me. It's not them. It's not that. It's not. It's him. It's him. He's the one. He's the beautiful one. He's the only one. He's the only one that can pass those things in us. And so when we turn the page in our Bible, we continue on in the Gospel of Mark, we see in verse 16, same chapter, chapter 1, now, as he walked, it's Jesus, but he's the Lamb. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come after me. Come after me. I'll make you fishers of men. Straight away, they forsook their nets. They followed him. They followed him. And when he had gone a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in their boats mending their nets, and straightway he called them. And they went after him. They went after him. How amazing. And continuing on in chapter 1, verse 21, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway, there's a lot of straightways happening. How many times has straightaway come in this? Good Lord, I think there's about 7 straightways here so far in chapter 1. They went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. They were astonished at his doctrine. He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And there was one in their synagogue as a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "Let us alone. What are we to do with thee, Jesus of Nazareth?" And he said, here's the deal. This guy continues to get a whole different response. When he says, come follow me. He's saying, come on, follow me. Don't follow my teaching. Don't follow my attributes. Follow me. It's a me. And then when he teaches them, goes into the synagogue on the Sabbath and he starts reading. When he reads the word, it's not like the scribes who are just teaching or talking or intellectualizing or spiritualizing or philosophizing. That's not a word. Philosophizing. Hallelujah. I got that one. Thanks God. He's speaking. He has the word. He's the word. When he speaks, there's authority. There's something more there than just a teaching about the Lamb. There's something more there than just a commandment to have Lamb-like attributes. Here he is. There he is right there. You say, hey, guys, follow me. Follow me. Even the demons knew the difference. He just says it in the next chapter. The demons, what is it? Verse 24. There was an unclean man in the synagogue. He had an unclean spirit. He cries out, let us alone. What do we have to do with thee? You're the Holy One of God. And they knew, the demons knew. The demons knew he's the Holy One of God. You know, I wonder if there's times when we go, Lord, don't pass me by. If Jesus is walking, and you know, we've seen these in the Gospels. Of course, Christ is in us now. But we see these scenarios where there's these throngs of people, these crowds of people. And Jesus is in the midst of them, walking through them, and everybody's wanting to press in and see him and hear him and touch his garment, etc. And we don't pass me by, Lord. We hear blind Bartimaeus crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy. I mean, we know the stories. Zacchaeus is up in the branch looking on him, wanting to hear, see, all of these things that we don't miss him when he passes us by. But how many times do we pass him by? I mean, how many times would we hear Jesus crying out, don't pass me by, as we follow his teaching or his attributes or something else that's not him, the person, him. It's like, you're so excited to overcome that you pass me by the Lamb. You just passed right by the Lamb. You're so excited about getting deep with about the Lamb that you pass me by for the teaching about me. But I'm the one who has authority. I'm the one who knows the heart of the Father. I'm the one who is his exact likeness. To seek me, you've seen the Father. Why would you pass me by? I am the Lamb. I'm the Lamb that goes into those things and overcomes. Why would you pass me by? Why would you pass me by? And so some of us, we come to Bible school or be in these crises in our lives where we're just desperate for Jesus. We're just desperate for Jesus. And it's the Lamb Labs. It's the crises. It's those situations that are in our daily life that drive us to our knees and groanings that cannot be uttered, crying out for Christ to be formed in us. But the question that comes to my heart for tonight is, but do we pass by him in our pursuit of him? Do we pass by the Lamb in our pursuit for the Lamb? And I know that sounds so simple and so just simple and backward. But it's not what it sounds like to our ears and our doctrines. It's what is happening in our heart, in our daily life. You know, he said, come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come learn of me. Come learn about me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light, for I am meek and lowly. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? You open his heart, open his being, open every inward part of his eternal self. And say, come on in. Come unto me. Come into me. Learn of me. Partake of me. Eat my flesh. Drink my blood. Breathe in my spirit. Take in my life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You're not going to get there to bring him glory but by me. Come to me. Come unto me. Come unto me. You know, there's that old altar call song from generations past, but we still sing it, and some of us have probably made our way to the altar with this song going forth of, just as I am, Lord, without one plea, I come. Lord, I come is how the song ends. Lord, I come. Just as I am, I come. I come. I come. And, you know, sometimes when we sing a song like that, we think about how wretched we are, and our focus is all on our wretchedness because we're so self-absorbed and aware. But really, it's the Lamb of God who's saying, just come. Come just as you are. Come unto me. And then come on in and learn of me. Learn of me and feast on me and partake of me. And let who I am be in you. And we know that. We know that. We could teach it. We could write children's books. We could sing songs and do skits and paint walls and do outreaches and write tracts. And we got it all. But is that what's happening in us? Is that where we go when we have a practical Lamb Lab and we're in the situations that we've put ourselves in the past times? And everybody's like, what do I do next? I want to ask you a question. And just be honest. Don't have to answer. Answer to yourself and to God. When you get in that situation where you guys make up your own scenarios. When one person is at the job and they're accusing you falsely, or you want to justify, or it's not fair and you're being confronted with it not being fair, and they're not giving you the appreciation or honor or all those things that happen every day in our lives. God sees to it. We're face to face with it. Here's the question for tonight. Here's beyond the lab, before the lab, after the lab, during the lab. Here's a question I feel like the Lord is asking. Where do you go? Where do you go? What's your way in the middle of that crisis? What happens? You believe in the Lamb. I believe in the Lamb. We believe in the Lamb. We cry out for the Lamb. We love everything about his beautiful heart. We belong to him. We're bought with his blood. We're his body. His life is in us. But when we get in those situations, those things at work or with our husband, our wife, our children, our friends, our neighbors, people every day, everywhere, our own soul, our thought life that's carnal and messed up, the devil coming to us with things. And we don't want to be tempted and sucked into that. We don't want to have a response that's not the Lord. Where do we go? Where are we looking? And honestly, please, no right answers. Just real answers. Right answers don't buy you nothing. We don't take that currency in Lamb Lab. Don't take the currency of the right answer. It doesn't matter. Right answers don't matter. Real answers are the only thing that matters. Where do you go? Do you go to him? Do you look to him as your resource? These words have been cheapened, so cheapened. Do you draw his life out into you? Do you prime that pump and bring up his spirit from deep within? Do you seek and press into his heart, his mind? Do you take him into you? Do you breathe him out of you? Do you make oneness happen in that moment? Do you take hold of it with your heart and with your faith and allow the Spirit to land on him and bring him forth, and the Father to say, that's him, there he is, release him, send him forth into the wilderness straight away. Let him be your answer, your way, your truth, your life. Do we seek Jesus? Or are we secretly? And this is a question I feel like, you know, we don't want to keep going without these questions being answered in our own hearts. Do we have another way that we've cultivated our whole life, maybe since we met Jesus secretly? A way of, everything I'm going to say, I believe everyone here totally doesn't believe that that's the way to go. We would never even speak of it. But what's going on inside? What's our real way? Okay, when we're confronted in that, where do we go in our heart? Where, who, what, how? Is it, I'm going to be sweet. I'm going to act sweet. I'm going to take the lower seat. I will take the lower seat. I will make sure I take the lower seat. I will have the lower seat. I'm going to take the lower seat if I have to hair lip the devil to get it. Or press everyone, you will go in front of me. I mean, what kind of spirit? Have you ever had that happen to you? Where someone was so dead set on taking the lower seat, they released the beast on you in doing it. Or have you ever been that person where you were going to be the last? You were going to be the humble one. You were going to be humble. And it was going to be a lamb humility. But nobody better mess this up. You will be the most humble. You're going to do it. You will be at the altar longer than everybody. You will cry more tears. You will be more penitent. You will bow lower. You will weep harder. You will seek deeper. What is that? What is that the lamb? What is your motive? What is your motive? What kind of a lamb is that the Lamb of God that makes the heavens open and the Father scream out, my God, that's my Son in whom I'm well pleased, and the dove land and the angels dance and the universes cry out holy and the seraphim shake the walls of the temple, this is the one. Is that Jesus? Is it okay with our hearts that when we get in real life situations where someone takes a lower seat, that we take it in that spirit and call it the Lamb? Is that okay to have idols and false images of Christ releasing through us to other people if that's not really his spirit? Is that okay to walk into a situation, eyeball it, no principles of his nature, and then do them, by golly, because that's lamb-like, in a spirit so foreign to him, so hurtful and grievous to him, so not Jesus to others, that it releases death everywhere. The leprosy, it's like a plague. You're contaminating people. And in your heart, it's okay because it was lamb-like. We're not looking, folks, for the right ways and means and lamb-like attitudes. We're looking for him. H-I-M, him. There's only one. He's the only one. It ain't you. It ain't me. It ain't nobody but him. We're not going to pass any test. We're not going to walk through any trial. We're not going to have the right response in any situation, however small or however big, if it's not the real lamb. And there should be something in the heart of a bride and in the heart of a son to his father, in the heart of a person in Jerusalem crying out for the presence of the living God, in that David heart that says, I will not stop until I find you. There should be something in us that says, I am not going to be satisfied with this fake lamb. I'm not going to be satisfied with acting a certain way so people think I'm lamb and I don't get in trouble. What's up with that? Seriously, does anyone else do that but me sometimes? I can't believe it when I do that. I can't believe it. I'm so ashamed before Jesus. But that will be okay with my heart. And it has been. It has been. And he's using the season right now to convict me. Kelly, don't let that continue. Don't let that continue. Find the real me. Break those idols, Kelly, of the Lamb. Break those foreign spirits that aren't him, but just you. Find me, the real me, revealed by the Spirit, breathed into you through the oneness that he bought through the cross. Let it be my son, my real son, in you, through you, the Lamb. We all have the real one in there. But once again, when I speak to myself, do I? And I know the answer is yes so many times. Do we pass him by for another way? When he's there, he's there. Do we cultivate ways? Wouldn't it be terrible to have gone through a course like this and we have these practical things and situations come, and by the end of the course, we have so fine-tuned methodology of how to be lamb-like with people that we've created a whole new culture of fake lambs. We know how to. We're not Christians. Christians have their own culture. I mean, we're Christians, but we've got a new culture in the Christian culture. It's called lamb culture. And we do, well, we take the lower seat, yes, and we don't open our mouth if someone's being mean, yes. And we've things in our lamb culture that we do. It's our culture. But just like Isaac asks Abraham, where's the lamb, Dad? Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? In this culture of acting some this and that and these teachings, and where's the lamb? Wouldn't that be the bride's heart, a wife's heart? Where's the lamb? Where's my husband? Where's the groom? Where's he who fills the temple? Where's the glory? Where's the Holy One of Israel? Even the demons knew he was the Holy One. Where's he? Where's the Holy One? Where's the fulfillment? Where's the only one who has the right spirit? Where is he? I'm not moving. I'm not moving without you, Jesus. I'm sorry for these offerings that I've thrown on your altar, crippled, blemished things. When I had a spotless lamb in my heart, I could have put that one, your firstborn son, I could have put him on the altar. He's the one who would have brought your heart joy, brought life to others. I put my own crippled imitation, blemished thing up there just because I wanted to look good, or I was stuck in a rut of doing it my own way. Stubbornly wouldn't move from my flesh just doing it its way. Because it got away with it and looked okay. No. Oh, no. Let's just take time this day. Let's let tonight be a place and a time in our history, in our path of seeking and following after Jesus as our life, that we just put a stake in the ground or start pounding it in to our soil, the soil of our hearts, and Lord, I didn't come here for that. I'm not here for that. I don't want to cultivate things like that in me. I don't want to do that to you. I don't want to inflict others with that. And in your name, as if it were you, and confuse them, misrepresent you. Lord, I need the real Jesus. Father, reveal your son in me. I want to eat his flesh, drink his blood, until his spirit is truly in you. Oh, Lord, I need to know you. Just like the song we started class with. I got to know you. I got to know you. I got to come unto you. I got to follow you. You're the word. Speak, breathe, be spirit life in me. Jesus, Jesus, Lamb of God. Only you, only you, only you. I seek you, Lord, not a way to do things, even based on your attributes. I seek you. Without you, Lord, it's nothing. You know, I know it's not a big, long class, but I feel like it's so important. It's so from his heart. And I believe that that's the heart of everybody here. Everybody here. And I don't even know who's here because I can't even barely tell. I don't even know if you can see me. I trust you can. You said you can. I'm looking at a black screen right now. but I know those who gather their hearts love Jesus so much. And I know that I am the chiefest of sinners in these things. And I know that the Lord's been dealing with my heart to not be satisfied with that. And I'm sorry to each and every one of you for when I have misrepresented Jesus. And it wasn't really the Lamb. And I've maybe even added to that in our midst by releasing things that were like him but weren't really him at times. And being okay with that. I'm not okay with that. I'm not okay with that. God's dealing with my heart. He's dealing so deep right now. I'm not okay with that. I'm not okay at all until it's the Lamb. Even if I seem okay or look okay, if it's not Him, I'm not. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. God is so deeply dealing with me. So very, very deeply. I don't want to go forth. I don't want to walk out of this season of my life and it not really be the real Lamb. I don't want to have found a way to get through things and cultivated methodologies and ways of behaving that looked like the Lamb but aren't the Lamb. Please, God, no, 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 no. It's got to be your Son that we bring. It's got to be Jesus, the real one in me. I need Him. It's got to be Him. It's got to be Him. So pray for me if you're not struggling in this area. God, pray for me. I need so much more of the real Lamb. And my heart is so deeply set on finding Him, seeking Him, eating Him, feasting, crying out, knowing I can't afford to waste a second right now. Not in this time God's given us. Not a second. And I certainly don't want to waste it on cultivating old ways of faking His nature. And I have the real one inside. And a Spirit who's wanting to land on Him and reveal Him. And a Father who's wanting to share and feast with me on Him. I can be that prodigal and I can run to my Father and we can feast on the real Lamb together. I can be clothed with His Spirit, filled with His mind. Another heart, a new heart, His heart. One heart that we all share. One Spirit that is His in all of us. And He will pass those tests. He will have the right responses. He will fulfill it all in us. So let's just pray. Lord, we thank You for putting the Lamb in us. Oh, Father, for putting Your Lamb in us, for putting Your Son in us, for putting the answer in us, for putting the way and the truth and the life in us. It's Him we follow. It's Him we love. He is our answer. He is our hope. He's our hope of bringing You glory. Him in us is our hope, Lord. We have none other. We don't hope in our flesh. We don't want to put any confidence in our flesh. I'm so sorry, Lord, for being okay with something that's not really Your Lamb, for offering that up, for displaying it before others as if it were Jesus, Lord. May all these idols break before Your beautiful face, before Your true Son. May our hearts break for Him, for the real Him. May we open in new ways. May we press in deeper than we ever have before, Lord. We long after You, Jesus. We hunger and thirst. We cry out. We press in, Lord. Redeem every moment of every day for knowing You truly, truly. Not religion, Lord. Not behavior modification. Not a culture. Christ in us, the hope of glory, the real one. Father, we continue to seek You with our hearts. Use this time and these Lamb Labs that we might question these things. We might examine ourselves, Lord, to see if Christ be in us in these ways. Truly, truly. Not be reprobate, but be tested and brought forth as gold by His Spirit, truly the Lamb, the gold of His nature, the real one within. Seven times tried in the fire. Seven times. Oh, that's Him and Him alone. All glory, all honor, all dominion, wisdom, power, and strength belongs to Him and Him alone. Give You all the glory, Jesus. Give You all the glory, Jesus. Lamb of God, slaughtered Lamb, enthroned. Be magnified. Be magnified. Magnified. Greater and greater. Be You. Be You. Jesus' name. In closing, for the students, there's a few of you there. I just would ask, with great tenderness and without any sense of pressure or anything that would make you uncomfortable in your relationship with the Lord that may be in this area private. But I just feel there are times where we can pray for one another and stand together in a spirit of faith and of covering and of love and of oneness in Christ. And if there's just something in your heart in regards to these areas we've been discussing tonight where you're crying out, and you don't have to be a student, you know, but particularly to the students, but to anyone, I'm there with you. We're together. But just write a little essay note, just something from your heart. It could be a scripture, but not in the form of seeking the word, but seeking him in this way, in his words. Something that we could stand together, pray over, something the Lord's dealing with your heart on in regards to the things that we've shared tonight. So just email those to me. And I want to thank everyone who's here. I don't know who all that is, but I can tell there's a few of you. And I pray y'all are blessed and just keep me in your prayers. And we're together seeking his heart as passionately and as deeply as we ever have in our lives. Let us continue in Jesus' name. Amen. See you guys next time.